But if you don't, it's still, it's fine.
Acts 16:22.
Oh, bless Megan, bless Allie. Two more weeks, guys! And then the next gladiator enters the arena. Verse 22. The crowd joined in attacking them. So, the preaching of the gospel is messing up the economy, who makes idols. And they don't like that. And the magistrates tore their garments off and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows on them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Good luck. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, we're still here." And the jailer called for lights, lights! And rushed in, trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved from the wrath of God?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household," who also believes this. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized all at once. He and all his family, who also believed. Then he brought them into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. This is God's word. And it's a cool one. Okay? So we're going to do part two to last week's teaching on Thanksgiving as a discipline, something that believers in the Messiah set themselves to do in a serious way. So again, Thanksgiving is not like a cute thing to start the year. It's life and death type stuff. So last week said there's curses to Thanksgiving. Romans 1, he gave them over to all kinds of evil because they would not give thanks. There are reasons why we're thankless, lots of them. And then there's this fuel for Thanksgiving. Okay, the Lord has given us things to put into our tank to cause us to give thanks, namely God's work in the past. So we thank the Lord for all of his promises in the covenants, and primarily the agent for bringing all those covenant promises to fulfillment in the life of Jesus, and the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus, his ascension, his sending of the Spirit. All past events that we thank the Lord for. We think on those things, oh God, thank you for those things. We also thank God for things in the present, primarily the ministry and gift of the Holy Spirit. Presently now reminding us that we are children of God, testifying to our spirits that, hey, you're an idiot, but God loves you. Okay? We thank God for that. And then God's work in the future fuels us for Thanksgiving, the return of the Lord to this earth forever to resurrect our bodies and make all things new is cause for Thanksgiving. And so that's where we left last Sunday, and I left full of thanksgiving and little grumbling. Okay, I just walked out of here like, let out, you know. And apparently the Lord wanted me to practice what I preached. And so in his kindness, I was met pretty quickly with opportunities to complain. And guess what I did? I complained because I'm a sinner. Dang it. So I say that to say we need grace in this. We're talking about Thanksgiving. We need the Lord to help us by the Spirit. We need the Lord to root up ungratefulness and bitterness out of our hearts and out of our chest, throw it on the ground, and light it on fire, okay? That's what we need from the Lord. And one way the Lord does this, one way he roots bitterness out of us, is by tying blessing to thanksgiving, okay? We've talked about this a little bit before. Human beings are carrot and stick people, okay? If you're riding a horse, you got the carrot out front, promise of blessing, to get the horse to go, but if the carrot doesn't work, you gotta, what? Yeah, stick, okay? The blessings are the carrots. So we're going to talk about carrots today. So the first blessing for Thanksgiving is a real big one. The reward for Thanksgiving in this age is blamelessness to enter into the age to come. The reward for refusing bitterness and for refusing moaning and bellyaching is a clean conscience on the day of the Lord. That's something you need more than anything. You need a clean, you need to stand before God clean on the day of the Lord. So Philippians 2, 5 and 14, he says, have this mind among yourselves. Okay, so you, church, have this mind. The beginning of chapter 2 is the description of Christ, the humility that counts others more important than yourself. So have this mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So this mind is yours if you'll ask the Lord for it. Okay, so if you'll ask the Lord for humility, he will give you humility. Which is not a great prayer, by the way, because you don't like how he answers that one. Lord, make me humble. He said, okay. Okay? It's for your good, though. Verse 6, who, though he was in the form of God, just worship with me for the next five verses here. Who he was in the form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, in view of all this, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you, both to will and work for his good pleasure. So, the instruction from the apostle to have the mind and the humility of Jesus Christ, the instruction for working out your salvation as God works in you, he's going to tell us here. How does that come about? Verse 14, do all things. You want the mind of Christ? You want the humility that Christ lived with? Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Okay? So generally, when we think about, okay, how do I have the mind of Christ? We go read your Bible. Paul doesn't say that, though you should read your Bible. Or we go, you need to pray. Paul doesn't say pray, though you should pray. He doesn't say attend worship, though you should attend worship. Okay? One of the strangest things, just side note real quick, one of the strangest parts of my job is I became a Christian pastor, and a lot of my job is convincing Christians that, yeah, actually, you need to gather with the saints. Just a weird thing to me. Duh! You gather. Anyway, that's not what Paul says. The mind and attitude of Christ marks our lives, not when we read a Bible or pray or attend worship, when we don't grumble. I think that's so strange. And what's the reward and the fruit? What's the carrot for crucifying grumbling in our lives? Verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud. I didn't run in vain or labor in vain. And so I say, guys, look what's tied up into being thankful. Look what's tied up into not grumbling and bellyaching. Paul says, blamelessness now. In this generation, blamelessness in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, and you'll shine as bright lights as you bear witness to Jesus. As you tell people about Jesus and your life is marked with a thankful heart, you'll shine as a bright light, okay? God is not glorified in the saints when the world is caving in, or God is glorified in the saints when the world's caving in, and we're still blessing God, okay? Like when everyone else is moaning and bellyaching and the saints are like, we love Jesus, it's going to be okay, we're going to live forever. When we're doing that and the world is going, look what the world's coming to. The Democrats, the Republicans, Donald Trump, Nancy Pelosi. Ah! And they are losing their ever-loving minds. Okay? We don't lead the way in saying, look what the world's coming to. That is not our job. That is not our role. We lead the way, not by saying, look what the world's coming to. We lead the way by saying, hey, look who's come into the world and who's coming into the world again. That marks us as thankful people. And the world takes notice that y'all didn't lose your minds. Okay? That's my prayer for 2021 is, God, just help us keep our heads on straight and not act like total idiots all the time. And that's corporate we, okay? Because I, as you know, am an idiot.
Okay.
So the blessings of Thanksgiving, blamelessness in this day, shining bright as lights in the world, and blamelessness on the day of Christ. So when the Messiah returns, when the books are open, okay, a real day, a real Lord, real books open, those who have lived their lives in thanksgiving to God will be found blameless. Okay, why? Because everyone who will stand blameless on that day is someone whose eyes were opened by the Spirit, only by grace, who saw the cross and saw the tomb that they deserved and looked at that and said, oh God, thank you. Thank you. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross. Like, thank you. And then they spent the rest of their lives looking at that cross and looking at that tomb and looking at that ascended Lord and thanking him for that descending Spirit and his soon return, looking at it and the rest of their lives. God, thank you. Because I just deserve hell, okay? I just deserve, the only thing that God owes me at the end of the age is a lake of fire. That's what I deserve, but instead I've got this crucified and risen Lord in my place. And so I say, oh, thank you. Okay? Everyone who will stand blameless on that day just gave thanks. Just thank you. Everyone who will stand in blame on that day is someone who looked at the cross and looked at the tomb and said, eh. Okay? The first blessing of thanksgiving is blamelessness on the day of the Lord. That has to drive your entire life. It's a real day. I'm going to stand before a real Lord, okay? 5'8", curly-headed, dark-skinned Jewish man, and I have to give account for my life to him. And I want to be blameless on that day. And Paul tells us the way you're blameless on that day is you give thanks to God. You bow your knee, you stop your belly aching and your grumbling, and you give thanks. Romans 1 tied thanksgiving to salvation, not to a cute ministerial alliance service once a year where we sing, give thanks with a grateful heart. I love that. I hope we get to do it this year. But it's almost cute, okay? It's almost kitsch, okay? This is life and death. This is a world without end or like a fire kind of stuff. So Romans 1 says, and that's what Philippians 2 says, so repent of your grumbling and your belly aching and give thanks to God, okay? This might seem like a kind of weird mini-series to start the year, especially this year, okay? We're going to talk about Thanksgiving as everything's unfolding that's unfolding, okay? But the reason I'm doing it, I just think, feel the Lord, like, it's so important that we have Thanksgiving in our bones and in our guts as a discipline if things keep trending towards a total idiocracy, okay? We have to be thankful people blessing God at all times, okay? Because I really just care about the state of your hearts no matter what's happening, okay? If we launch into the greatest generation in American history or if we just continue burning as a dumpster fire, I don't care. I care about the state of your heart. So that on the last day, you stand blameless. Because I have to give account to you, for you, on that day as well. So help me out, all right? Second blessing is peace. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. This is the last sermon I preached before we shut down, or last passage I preached. Rejoice in the Lord, always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So prayer and supplication tied together. Don't, like, this is thanksgiving, this is prayer. No, Paul just says, same thing, okay? Let your requests be made known to God. So what's the fruit of this, of thankful prayer, sober-minded, reasonable prayer, because the Lord is at hand, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus the Messiah. So, if you want peace, don't grumble about what's making you anxious and sad, okay? Now, I know that's incredibly easy for me to do on a Sunday in a nice building, just saying, hey, don't do this. I understand that, because if you're actually in anxiety and sadness and all that stuff, someone telling you don't be sad doesn't always help. So, let me finish. Don't grumble. Instead, give thanks to the Lord. So in giving thanks to the Lord in the midst of those kinds of things, at least for me, I've got that James double-mindedness going on, right? Mind going back and forth. When we give thanks, that double-mindedness is given to a single mind, okay? Thanksgiving clarifies. Thanksgiving kind of weeds out other thoughts that aren't of the Lord. And it's Thanksgiving again in the past and in the present and in the future. So I don't have time for this part. Okay, so I'll just say this. Taking God's promises, okay, again, past, present, future promises, and thanking Him for them digs up our anxiety out of the ground, chops it up, and throws it into the fire. I'm doing that Bible bulldoze, and there's one, I can't remember which king it is. There's a bunch of bad ones. There's a couple good ones. He goes to the pagan temple that they've built, and he has it, first he gathers up all the false prophets and puts them all in there, gets all the good guys and says, hey, once they're all inside, have them come out. And then they slaughter them all. Okay, super weird. But then they destroy this pagan temple and they bulldoze it all together. And the site of this temple becomes the city's toilet. Okay, that's what God thinks about false gods. Okay, when Moses comes down from the mountain and they have the golden calf, he says, hey guys, grind the calf up, make them drink it so they urinate it all over the desert. Like, that's what God thinks about false gods. Anyway, I was reading that and they destroyed the temple and everyone's peeing on it. I'm thinking, God, that's what I want you to do with my grumbling. Make it a giant toilet that I never want to look at or see again. Anyway, sorry. My inward belly aching, leaving last week, didn't stop. Okay, it didn't go away until I started thanking God. Okay, God, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. And I just said that over and over. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. World without end. This is my future. No matter what dumb thing I do today or whatever dumb thing someone else does to me today, I'm going to live forever. And I started thanking God for those things. And all those big problems just came really, really small. Because you're going to be alive on the earth in a trillion years from now. Okay? Oh, I'm not sad anymore. Okay, and then so look what the peace of God. So you got peace in that regard. Look what the peace of God does. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. We don't get what's going on. What's it do? It will guard your heart. It will guard your mind, too, in Jesus the Messiah. So thanksgiving in this regard, it almost functions like that Ephesians 6 armor of God. If you're giving thanks, it's almost like you got that shield of faith and breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit. So maybe you didn't sing that song. You got the armor on if you're giving thanks. And so the arrows of the evil one, they just hit and go away, okay? It allows us to withstand evil in the present day. So if you want peace, give thanks. He'll guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Third, thanksgiving gives way to evangelism. Acts 16, the passage that we read to begin, they've just been arrested, and Paul and Silas go into prison so that they can complain about their persecution. Oh, no, that's not it. 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. So in Philippians 4 that we read, Paul tied prayer and thanksgiving together. The reason Paul could do that is because he'd done that, right? He's writing Philippians 4 like, man, you remember me and Silas were in prison just thanking God for everything? And so we're reading this. If you've never opened a Bible before and you pick it up and you read that they're singing because they're in prison, you're rightfully going, these guys are nut jobs. Absolute, either imbeciles or just, on drugs, whatever. And I'm thinking as I'm reading it this week, like I inwardly grumble and sometimes outwardly grumble. I inwardly grumble when I get a snide remark or a criticism about my preaching or my pastoring, okay? It's like, and I grumble, and it's horrible, okay? It's horrible. And I'm reading this thinking, who knows what fresh hell would come out of my heart if something actually bad happened to me, right? If I'm grumbling over a snide comment, what am I going to do if I'm in prison? Not this! I'm going to complain and I'm going to grumble, but these guys, instead, they sing and they give thanks to God. And look what happens. And the prisoners were listening to them. They're listening to them. So again, I'll make another plug for this. And if you want this, I'll get it for you. Brother Yun's the heavenly man. So Brother Yun became a believer at the height of communist China, and he's in prison all the time, and they're electrocuting him and ripping out his fingernails and all just horrible stuff, okay? But he's always singing, and the prisoners always hear him singing, and at first they beat him up for a couple of years, and then like the next 3 years after that, they all come to know Jesus. Anyway, so I'll get that for you if you want it. But the prisoners are listening to them singing and praising and thanking God. And so I just say this, like, don't think that the world's not watching how the church functions in these days, which are weird. They're just weird, okay? The world's watching, and they can tell if we believe this stuff or if we just talk about it, okay? So if we talk about, like, hey, yeah, actually, we think the world is trending up, and we're gonna live forever on the earth forever, and you can kill my body in this age, but guess what? I get a new one, so do what you want to me. We say those things, and we sing those things, and we preach those things, but when we're met with a little resistance or opposition, we start complaining, the world says, oh, you don't really believe that stuff. You guys just talk about it. And you know, your church is just kind of a nice cultural thing in the community, but it's not real. Okay? Unbelievers, though, have darkened hearts and darkened minds. They're not dumb. Okay? They can see if we believe what we say we believe or not. Anyway, suddenly, prisoners are listening, they're singing, it's a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison are shaken, the whole deal, the guy wants to kill himself, and something about how Paul and Silas conducted themselves in their imprisonment, how they sang instead of complained, caused the guard to say, sirs, okay, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to know that if I'm in the prison stocks and about to be executed, like, how can I live like you live? How can I live in such a way that knows I'm saved from the wrath of God at the end of the age? So I'm asking, do you think the guards respond this way? Do you think the guards go to Paul and Silas and say, what must I do to have what you have if they're just moaning in prison? I don't think they do. I don't think they do. These men, in their thanksgiving, were bearing witness to their belief that even if they died in prison, they'd be resurrected at the end of the age to a world without end. That's who sings in prison. People who don't believe that complain in prison. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Okay? So when the world begins to shake, like literally in this instance, literally shaking, people will turn to those not freaking out. Okay? Like when a plane's going down, like you don't go ask the person for help who's like going crazy. Right? You go find the air marshal with the parachute who's calm. Okay? They turn to the ones, instead of the people freaking out, they turn to the ones singing and giving thanks to God as the world caves in. Okay? We can sing and give thanks to God all we want when things are great, but when things are bad and the church is still like, yep, we're going to be okay, that's when the world will take notice. Okay? So thanksgiving really matters to our evangelism. Next blessing might not be as important to us, but it's clearly important to God, is clean tongues. Ephesians 5:3, but sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness must not be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Saints, we can do better here. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. Okay, so unbelievers, okay, have hot garbage flow out of their mouths every day. Just garbage. Do you NFL fans in here, or used to be NFL fans in here? Do you remember Reggie White? Does anyone remember? You have to remember Reggie White. Okay. Eagles. Yeah. Reggie White was a bad, bad, bad man. Okay. He was the Aaron Donaldson before Aaron Donaldson. Anyway, he's a believer in Jesus, and the guys across from him in football, the way he described it, he says they talked in ways that I wouldn't let my dog hear, and he told the guy, he's like, hey, I'm a believer. It's a Sunday game. You know, please stop talking like that. And he's like 6'8", 300 pounds. Can you please stop talking like that? And the guy just kept at it. He said, okay, Jesus is coming. And whipped his butt the rest of the day. Just like, anyway. Point being, unbelievers have hot garbage flowing out of their mouth every day. And our talk should not match the world's talk. So if I had two tablets and was just, you know, scrolling through your feeds, I don't have any friends on Facebook, but if I did, I was scrolling through your feeds and it was like, this unbeliever and this believer, and they kind of matched in vulgarity and matched in crudeness and like, I'd be like, I think this person's not actually a believer, but just plays one on TV. You know what I mean? Like, if we talk the same, that's not what's going on here. It says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. So what's the alternative? To hot, sick garbage. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. Okay? Super easy. Like, this is not like, whatever. There's no Greek and Hebrew involved here. There's no historical context. Like, hey, don't talk like an idiot. Instead, let there be thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Cleanse your tongue. This is James 3, verse 9. With it we bless with our tongue. We bless our Lord and our Father. And with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. So James is saying, that's a problem. For from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh and salt water? It's a rhetorical question. It's like, no! No! And so how you stop the garbage from coming out is not to just stop talking altogether, although maybe that is a good idea. Okay? You stop the garbage from coming out by thanking God. And again, we've got, just in the Scripture, so much to be thankful for, and then you can start adding other things like in this life. Okay? Okay. Here's the problem with preaching this stuff is, like, again, the Lord's going to be like, okay, let's see if you learned it. So there's many blessings for Thanksgiving. There's blamelessness on the last day. There's peace in this day. There's more opportunities to witness. And then there's clean tongues before God, all of which matter. So how do we do it practically? How do we do this thing? First is prayer. Kind of alluded to that a little earlier. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Okay? Because it's just, when you're talking to God, he's going to remind you, like, hey, remember that cross thing? That was cool. You should give me thanks for that. You know what I mean? Like, the whole deal, talking to the Lord is a natural release valve for thanksgiving. E.M. Bounds, the great Methodist prayer, okay, he wrote more on prayer than any of us could ever read. He says, gratitude arises from contemplation on the goodness of God. It's bred by serious meditation on what God has done for us. Gratitude and thanksgiving forever stand opposed at all murmurings at God's dealings with us and all complaining at our lot. Gratitude and murmuring never abide in the same heart at the same time. So you can have a heart full of murmuring or you can have a heart full of gratitude, but one's going to push out the other. So where do we want to land, saints? A heart full of gratitude. Okay, next practical way is worship. All right. Aaron's sons, so you guys are in your Bible plan. You're going to be getting to Exodus and Leviticus and all the fun stuff going on there. Aaron's sons, the Levite priests, were to enter into the courts of the Lord, and you had to go through a gate to get into the courts. How? Psalm 100. I will enter in his gates with thanksgiving. Yeah, they couldn't get to the laver, and they couldn't get to the altar unless they came in first with thanksgiving. Okay, like that's the whole deal. They couldn't, and when they get to the laver and the altar, they're giving thanks for what they're finding there. Like, oh, atonement for my sins. You give thanks on the way there. You have to. So in the context of our gathering, okay, this is not a tabernacle. This is not a temple. Okay, that's rubble at the moment. Ephesians 5:18. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, so you want to be filled with the Spirit. Paul's going to tell you how to do it right here. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So quickly, you want to be filled with the Spirit, sing songs, give thanks, and submit to one another. That's not what I want him to tell me, but it's what he said. So if you're a grumbler and not a thanker, you gather with the saints and you sing. Okay? This is what you do. You gather with the saints and you sing songs that praise God for what he's done in the past and what he's doing in the present and what he's doing in the future. We sing songs that do that and we sing them to one another. Guys, if I had my way, which I don't, this church would be a circle and we'd all face each other as we're singing. I think that's what the Bible, I mean, I try every week, I kind of turn you guys a little bit more, and then I get all the way there and someone says something, so I go back, but we'll be here about March, okay, so just get ready. We sing to one another, and it causes thanksgiving to rise up in our hearts. Next practical way And the last practical way we give thanks is you eat food. God's so kind to us, okay? 1 Timothy, the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving. And for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for it's made holy by the word of God and prayer. So many of us, myself included, don't understand the historical and cultural novelty of a grocery store. It's just always been a thing, okay? Like, you can go to the grocery store, and there's food for aisles, prepackaged, okay? If you go to a Costco or a Sam, there's food for miles. And miles, as far as the eye can see, there's food, okay? And there's so much food readily available for us. And I had teammates at NOC from down under, from Australia, and we took them to the Walmart Supercenter and in Ponca to get groceries. And they got their phones out, and they're like, shh, 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 shh. Just minds blown that there's this much food and this much stuff, and you just grab it off the thing and hand it to someone, and they put it in a bag for you and eventually walk it to your car. They were just wowed at it. So, yep, America's awesome. So I just say that to say food is for Thanksgiving. It's to be received with Thanksgiving. I have time to tell a story. When Pastor Derek was here, when we'd go to restaurants and, like normal people, sit down to eat our food like normal people. And, you know, we'd pray for our food. Pastor Derek, we start going out to eat with him, and he stands up and has to pray for everyone's food. And, you know, the first time we did it, you're just like, oh my gosh, who is this person? And then you started, you know, to get into it too. And it got to where anytime we'd go out to eat, we'd stand up and sing the doxology for the whole restaurant. And some people are like, what is happening? And some people are like singing along. And some people are like mad. And your food's blessed now. You can eat. All right. But it just, you just give thanks to God for food. John 6, Jesus is feeding the multitude. He breaks bread and gives thanks. Luke 22, he's giving us the signs for the new covenant. He breaks bread and what? He gives thanks. And when we eat the Lord's Supper here, we break a thing. and we give thanks. At our house-to-house group tonight, we're going to break bread. I'm in charge. No, you're in charge of cooking. You're home. All right. and the kids, we always have the kids pray before, just because we want them involved in the evening, and they pray for the food and everything else on their mind at the moment. Ella keeps praying that houses will not burn down, and the Lord is not hearing that prayer. I mean, we had like 8 houses burned down this year, so we're going to tell her to stop praying for that. Okay, so Thanksgiving for food is just such an easy practice, okay? Because most people are eating 3 times a day. That's 3 times a day to look at food that's in front of you and just to, thank God that you sustain me, that you give us daily bread. So it's an easy practice at home, at worship, and at a restaurant. And then the last thing, just the whole, to sum up Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is sacrifice. Psalm 50:23, I don't think I have it up there. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. Okay? So the Old Testament, Old Covenant, thanksgiving and sacrifice was ribs and brisket. Like they're burnt, it's barbecue. Okay? The temple is awesome. They're bringing barbecue and oil and grain and incense. Like, it's not, the temple's awesome. It's awesome. We don't have a temple anymore. Okay? We give thanksgiving a sacrifice. Okay? And so, again, we think of sacrifice. Immediately we go to Hebrews and think all sacrifice is sin sacrifice. But again, as you guys get into Exodus and Leviticus, like, their sacrifice just to praise. There's a free will offering you bring in just to say, God, I'm thankful for this and I love you. And you leave it and go. I mean, the Day of Atonement's a day, but the other sacrifices are all year long saying, thank you, God. You know, and there's a wave offering. I don't know if thanks. I don't know what's going on there. But I'm saying, like, the sacrifice is thanksgiving. And we come to the Lord and we just say, thank you. Thank you for giving your son to live a life I could not live, to die my death, to raise up out of the grave for eternal life, to ascend into heaven and to give me the Spirit and to come back. And we just say, thank you. So our sacrifice is thanksgiving. And as we give thanks to God, the psalmist says, verse 50, that glorifies God. So you want to glorify God in your life, in our community, in our world, give thanks to God. Okay? Maranatha, let's sing.